You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, what quality NFL vets might end up on the trading block before the season starts, and which of those should the Texans go after? We'll give you five players to keep an eye on in today's show. Welcome aboard, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with my co-host Brian Patterson from Fansided's HouseofHouston.com. Thanks for jumping on the Locked On Texans podcast. We are your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. And as we're speaking, it's less than 2 days away from Texans training camp. Thank goodness. And Brian, before we get to this list that I talked about off the start, Earl Thomas is a name we should add to our top five, because the latest is he's not showing up to Seahawks camp. He wants out. And Brian, he's expressed interest in the Cowboys and Raiders, but why wouldn't the Texans look at him? I mean, number one, you can't assume Dre Howell returns this season. Number two, they can easily absorb his $10 million cap hit if the Clowney extension isn't happening. And number three, he's still a top 10 safety, right?
Yes, yes. Go for it, because Earl Thomas is one of my favorite players. He is just a pleasure to go out and watch each and every game for the Seahawks. And the fact that we could have him as a weapon, that gets us ever closer to that Super Bowl ring that we've been looking for. You know, while you've got a quarterback that's going to be pretty cheap for the next couple of years, you may want to go on and try to put your name in the hat for this guy.
Bingo.
While he's still, you got it. You've got to go on and make these moves. You can hold on Clowney. I mean, you're not going to hurt his feelings. I mean, the guy's making, what, $12, $13 million this season on his fifth-year option. He's going to be fine with cash. They can worry about that later. They can always do the franchise tag, as we talked about. But you got to go and strike big with Earl Thomas. And, I mean, you got to hit. When you're out there competing with the Cowboys and the Raiders, you got to hit them, and you got to hit them hard. And I think we need to go after them. We did some splash signings, especially with Tyrann Mathieu, but we need to definitely go out there and try to get Earl Thomas, because that would be a terrific get, and that would even trump Tyrann Mathieu signing, to be honest with you. That would be the top signing of the offseason.
And if there's one thing that we learned from the Astros, I mean, just take a team across town, leadership matters. Chris Paul, we saw it with him. I mean, this guy's not only going to bring you the talent, but the leadership. Now, the Seahawks, they're asking for a second-round pick, which I think is a little nuts. I mean, look, I get that he's a six-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro, but we got to account for the safety market, which has been really bad this offseason, his slotted salary this year, which a lot of teams aren't going to be able to suck in, and the fact that he's got 1 year left on his deal, and he's 29 years old and about to start his ninth season. So I don't think you need to give up a second-rounder. I would have best give up a third rounder and maybe even a couple of fourths or something like that.
But if it turns out to be that we have to give up a second rounder, I don't think that that necessarily should be a deal stopper. I mean, I would love to have him here, but you don't want to give up too much. But if they say we want a second rounder and that's it, I'm willing to part for it for Earl Thomas. I really am. But if you can get it for a little bit less, you know, I would love to just kind of wiggle in a third rounder, maybe a lower round pick, like a sixth, a third and a sixth. That would work, in my opinion. But if they want a second, let's go in and give it to them. Let's get this guy.
Yeah, I just like the fact that, like, the Astros and the Rockets, they're always in the conversation for these top players. And I'd like to see the Texans start getting into the conversation, even if it doesn't happen all the time. Just a thought, but, you know, let's talk about some of the lesser names. Guys, the website Yard Barker cited as NFL vets who could be traded before the season. They have 15 vets on their list. Brian, you found five of those names who caught your attention. Do you think their list was realistic?
Yes. Yes. It's very realistic. A lot of these guys that are on the list have had injury issues, or they've just, you know, not performed up to par. That's why they're up on the block. But they still have value. They have upside. They're still pretty young, most of that list. So you definitely would have to, you know, strike it big with these guys. So if you are ready, ladies and gentlemen, and especially if you're ready, Rob, let's go with the first guy that I found. And I did this in the order of what should be our highest priority of what the talent is on that list. So the first one is Jimmy Ward with the San Francisco 49ers. They're willing to part with them because, you know, he's part of the old regime, with Harbaugh, and, you know, he was been there since then, and Tom Sula, you know, the one season that he was there. They're trying to clear all of that out from that era, but he is a holdover, and, you know, he has been pretty much productive as far as his pro football focus grades. Doesn't necessarily say that because he got a 46.9 on the season. That's 43. That's on coverage. Run defense, 57.8, but his pass rush is right at 68.3. Here's the important note. Out of 429 snaps that he took, you know, last season, the 429 snaps that he took, to make sure I have it correct, as far as his total snaps, he only had 9 missed tackles. 9 missed tackles, and that is through his whole career with the 49ers. That is amazing. Now, he had positive grades in 2015 and 2016, but negative grades in 2017 and 2014, his first season. So now, to double back and make sure that I'm telling you this correctly, over his career, he has 2,115 snaps. Last season, he had 429 snaps. So you're telling me that he only had 9 missed tackles out of all those snaps? Bring this guy over. And you know what? I want to give for him a fifth rounder. I'll give a fifth rounder for Jimmy Ward.
Yardbarker makes the point that he's missed 14 games to injury over the past two seasons, and there's no real set role in their improved secondary. For this is a former first round pick. It's cap hit of $8.5 million. So, you know, they don't think they can get, you know, the Yardbarker doesn't think that they could get much of substance, but San Francisco feels like he could be blocking some of their other young defensive backs that they've got, the growth and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's a guy to think about. Your number two guy on the list, which is the fourth option, which I love the Jimmy Ward option there, but Mackenzie Alexander, Vikings cornerback, right?
That's correct. Yeah, let's lead into that. Overall grade, 43.8 in 2017, 44.4 in coverage, 76.1 in run defense. That's still pretty solid, and 57.8% on the pass rush. So think about this. If you could morph Alexander, if you could put them into one player, that would be one hell of a player for us to trade for. But of course, they're two separate guys, because what one is weakness has, you know, as far as in Ward, with Alexander, he makes up for it. So you combine this and you've got a hell of a guy, a defensive back that you could put out there. But in terms of his of what he put out, both of his seasons have been negatively graded. Doesn't have that many stats up. He's been hurt a lot, you know, and just for that, you know, I would definitely give him a later round pick, like a sixth, you know, teetering on the edge. You would have to attach somebody else, you know, if I was going to give up a fifth. But a later round pick would be good for him, because he's a good gamble. Out of all the snaps that he could have possibly taken, he's only taken 27.8 of them. So he did have a positive run defensive grade last season. That's the only positive thing that he has. He does have one quarterback hit and one quarterback hurry. So this guy would definitely be a gamble, and I wouldn't put up too much on the block to get this guy. But you would just hope that he sparkles.
Vikings GM Rick Spielman, he's used, a first or second round pick on a cornerback 7 times, 3 first round selections over the past 6 years. So they've got a lot of depth. Terrence Newman returns for another season there too. There doesn't seem to be a lot of room for Alexander with them. A second round pick back in 2016. And then Alexander has seen very limited playing time. He's still 24 years old. He's got some upside. So, you know, the Texans need cornerbacks. We know that. I mean, they've got Jonathan Joseph, who has an injury history. You got Aaron Colvin. Kareem Jackson's moving over to safety. Kevin Johnson has an injury history. So, yeah, they could use some cornerback help. I definitely think corners would help. We know about the safety position with Dre Howell and the cancer diagnosis. We got 3 more guys to talk about, but first, we got a brand new sponsor we're super excited about, Brian. Nordic Track. Tell people about Nordic Track.
Nordic Track. You've seen the commercials on TV, guys. Well, guess what? The Locked On Podcast Network is partnered up with Nordic Track. So what an awesome thing for us. You know, sometimes it's hard to find the time to go to the gym. We've all got a busy schedule. You know, Rob and I can definitely attest to that. But how about you bring that gym home? Do you need the motivation of a trainer or a group class? But that's so time consuming. Nordic Track is going to get you where you need to go. The gym could come to you. Now, here are the benefits. Nordic has a series of training equipment to give you the amazing workouts in the convenience of your home, including treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and strength trainers. And if one of those products resonates with your workout style, feel free to mention one of those products specifically, because Nordic loves to hear from you guys. And so I think, honestly, this is something that you need to jump into. We all want to stay in shape. We all want to stay healthy. We all want to live as long as we can. And Nordic Track can get you to that goal, you know, especially if you're trying to build muscle, if you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to, you know, look impressive for that cute girl that's, you know, right next door to you. She moved in next door. She's in the apartment. You're trying to pump iron to impress her and try to get her to walk out that door and to notice you. How about that? You know, guys, fellas, we all been there. We've been trying to draw the attention of a beautiful girl, and that sometimes can help. So with Nordic Track, you could join the high energy stream workouts at any time of the day without stepping out the door. You can join stream workouts in both studios and exotic destinations around the world. Start your day with a run through the streets of Paris and end with cross training on the shores of Thailand or workout on the African safari. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. So there's going to be DVDs, all kind of electronic equipment to guide you, to get you to the goal where you need to. So there's a special offer for our listeners. You can get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/, and that's going to use the offer code Locked On. Again, that's nordictrack.com/ Locked On, and use the offer code Locked On during the checkout to save $75 off your purchase.
Let's continue with the five players that Brian wants the Texans to trade for, and the third guy on the list, Teddy Bridgewater. And Brian, Teddy, the Texans had a chance to get him this offseason, so give me the case for this. Why do you think all of a sudden the Texans should go for him now when we know they're just not interested? At least it seems like it anyway.
Let me tell you, Teddy Bridgewater, I wanted him in 2014, and that hasn't changed 4 years later in 2018. We've got a chance to get a talented quarterback that has the same traits as Deshaun Watson. Maybe not as great, but we could have him here. But the question is, if Teddy Bridgewater, if he wants to be a backup, in his mind, he feels that he should be starting. But I don't know. There's just not a lot of starting jobs that are going to be available for him. But this would be terrific for Teddy, because if Deshaun Watson was to have a setback, if he were to go down and we didn't have him, if you had Teddy Bridgewater in there, you would see continuity of this offense, of his team, and we would still be marching toward a division title. I think Teddy could do it. So let's look at his numbers from 2017. He only took 9 snaps, because he came in late in the season, remember? And, you know, his first pass that he threw was an interception. So you guys remember that, because I keep an eye on Teddy. I keep tabs on Teddy because that's my boy. So 63 overall for Pro Football Focus, 63.5 with his pass, and 60 for his rush grade. He has had positive grades throughout his whole career, although 2017 was toward the median. Again, he only took 9 snaps, so they didn't get a chance to grade him all that much. But 2015, 9.8, that's how they graded him, very positively as a quarterback. And 2014 was a great year for him. Now, you know, of course, he missed all of 2016 because of the injury that he had to his knee. He's only been sacked 10 times. He's only been hit 3 times. So because of his escapability and his legs, you guys all know this, he doesn't get hit that often. He's very durable, and he's only been hurried 12 times. So what I would give up for Teddy Bridgewater, I certainly, you know, if it warranted, I would give a 4th or 5th round pick. I try to squeeze in the 5th, but if I need to go up to a 4th for Teddy, so be it.
They might just flat out release him if they don't think he's a part of their plans, and they drafted Darnold, of course. And like I said, I never heard that the Texans were interested. Now, maybe he thought he would have a chance to start. This was before the draft, before they drafted Darnold. Everybody sort of knew that they were going to draft somebody. So I don't know if that played a major role for him. I wish that, you know, that maybe you were right, but I don't see it happening. I'm the guy who's next on your list. I more agree with, because as somebody that at least that they would be interested in, the problem with Jack Muhart, and we're going to talk about Jack Muhart, the Colts guard, is, you know, they selected Quentin Nelson and Braden Smith. The Colts did with their selections this year. So they drafted a couple of guys that would be taken maybe Jack Muhart's spot. The problem with Jack Muhart, and the only problem, because you talk about him, but he's with the Colts, and you just don't see those interdivisional trades much, and that's where I think it would fall apart a little bit. But I think this is a good idea, Jack Muhart.
Absolutely. And then going back to Teddy, I just want to address that and say I disagree. I really do think that that the Jets will be able to trade him. He has a value, and I just mark my words here, guys. That guy's going to get traded, and hopefully it's the Texans that are on the recipient of that particular deal. So let's get to Jack. Jack's got a 46.1 for 2017, 78.3 with his pass block grade, and 37.0 for his run block grade. So always been good with the pass block, but he was not available, you know, for a good chunk of the season. You know, he's been battling knee injuries for God knows how long, but boy, when he is out there, he is a force to be reckoned with. So 2017 was not obviously a good year for him. He didn't take that many snaps. I believe he only took 313 through the season, and he was only available just a few weeks. I think he was available through week 5, and that's about it, and he was done for the season. But 2016, 2015, 2014, all positive years for him. He's got 4 sacks on his career, 26 quarterback hits, and 82 quarterback hurries. Now, the Colts just signed him to a 1-year, $1.5 million. This is obviously a prove-it deal to see if he's got what it takes. But again, I would dangle him to see if I could get something for him as they try to rebuild that team as well. I would love to have Jack Muhart, because he can also, guys, he can play tackle too. He played a little – not with the Colts. He didn't play as much because he's been at guard for most of the time. But he has played tackle in his career, so you can move him around. And what's that buzzword we've talked about, Rob?
Versatility. Yay.
Dang. You win the car. So there you go.
And don't forget, he's only making $1.5 million.
Yes.
So that's he's a cheap option. Your next guy, hey, and your number one guy – I can't argue with him because he's one of my boys. He's a Missouri grad. Shane Ray. Talk about Shane Ray.
Shane Ray. I've got a lot to say about him. By the way, I'd give up Braxton Miller in a 5th rounder for Jack Muhart.
Nobody wants Braxton Miller. Come on, man.
Hey, if they want him, you know, he could play a little quarterback if they need him to. But anyway, as far as for Shane, you know, his year, you know, because he didn't really get going until week 8, and he played the rest of the season. But he had a 50.7 overall, 73.4 on his pass rush. That's pretty good. That's above average and getting close to pretty solid, and 45.3 on the run. And we already know that that's something he could work on. In coverage, he had a 44.7. Positively graded in 2016, not so much in 2017 and 2015. He was still getting going. And the man has 52 tackles, 17 assists, 9 missed tackles, which that's pretty good through all the snaps that he's had. That's 1,431 snaps in his career and 43 stops, which is pretty darn good. 21 quarterback hits, 15 sacks, and 16 quarterback hurries. That man is a beast, and I would love to have him on this team. We already have edge rushers. Yeah, I mean, but Whitney Mercilus, he's, you know, turning 30, and, you know, we may need to go on and see if we can get a little bit younger in that department. I mean, Shane Ray is not somebody we actually need, but it is a luxury to have him, because this defense is going to carry us if this offense starts to falter, especially with this offensive line, all the questions that we have with it. So I'm talking about for Shane Ray, let's give him a 3rd rounder and Chris Thompson.
Yeah, you don't have to give. I don't know if you got to give up. Nobody really gives up players a lot of times in trades these days. I mean, it's usually a draft choice. And But Shane Ray, yeah, Bradley Chubb, we should mention, drafting him, you got Von Miller. That's why they don't really need him maybe as much. And the Texans know about injuries with pass rushers from last year, and you don't know what the deal is going to be with J.J. Watt this year and how his recovery is going to go. So as many pass rushers as you can get, it's a good thing. Don't know if the Broncos will have him up for sale because they might like the depth themselves, but I definitely don't see him in their long-term plans. So if you think he's worth a third rounder, maybe a fourth rounder, it's crazy because this was a first rounder just a couple of years ago, 2015. But it's somebody I think with definite talent, and the Texans should consider him. I mean, you know, these guys, there's definitely guys that could help the Texans. There's no doubt about it. I would like to see the Texans get aggressive, Brian, because they just don't get aggressive a lot of times in the trade market. They didn't with Rick Smith. We'll see. Maybe it's different. You know, I don't consider, you know, the trade for Ryan Mallett as aggressive. So that's about the biggest trade that they've done in the last couple of years that I can think of.
You know how that turned out. What a disaster that was. But again, this is the Brian Gain era. Yeah, so, you know, he's a little bit more aggressive. You know, we went and got a big name free agent. Maybe we can get a big name with a trade. And, you know, he's wise with his moves. So, you know, I'm putting my faith in Brian Gain, and hopefully that he can come out smell like a rose.
In just a minute, we look at the other 10 players, or at least a lot of the 10 players that are on that list that we haven't mentioned. Hey, if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends, let them know they can find us on iTunes, Spotify, most anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. If you'd like to check out more shows from our national Locked On Network, go to LockedOnSports.com. The Locked On Network gets 2.5 million downloads per month with podcasts for nearly every NFL and NBA team. We're adding Major League Baseball and college sports as well. It's all on LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com. Now let's run through some of the players Yard Barker mentioned that we weren't on board with as much. Dante Fowler, Noah Spence, Josh Gordon. You know those names. They've had some off-the-field incidents. Spence, maybe a lesser name, Buccaneers defensive end. Not exactly Bob McNair type of players. Brashad Perryman, Ravens wide receiver. He was a first-round pick, 43 combined receptions in 3 years. Won't inspire the Texans. That's why I would say throw him out, Brian. And then Randall Cobb with the Packers, primarily a slot guy. I think the Texans like their slot guys. If Deontay Foreman isn't ready, would you trade for Giovanni Bernard, Mike Gillisley, or the Redskins' Chris Thompson? The Patriots, of course, that's their running back, Mike. So there's some running back guys that we can look at with Gillisley, Bernard, and Chris Thompson, because they might become available.
No, the running backs come a dime a dozen. You don't need to trade for a running back. And that's what I looked at. I was like, I looked at all those guys, and I'm like, I kind of like what we have with Alfred Blue. It's good that we were able to sign him, and Lamar Miller. So if Deontay Foreman is not ready, I think we'll be able to wing it just fine. I did seriously think about Dante Fowler Jr., but the fact that that would be an in-division trade with two teams that are likely going to be battling for the division, that deal ain't happening.
And he's a Bob McNair stay away because he's got off-the-field issues, like I said. So a couple other names, Justin Hardy, Falcons wide receiver, Rashad Jones, Dolphins safety. No interest in those guys?
No. I kind of like where we're at with safety, you know, with Justin Reed. You know, you can always get some help. You know, I almost considered putting that guy, Rashad, on my list, but I bumped him off because I'm fairly confident that with Kareem moving to safety, Justin Reed moving to safety, and with, Tyrann Mathieu there, we're just going to have plenty of depth and versatility. I don't think it's worth that we need to trade for him. This is a guy that might get cut.
But you would trade for Earl Thomas, obviously, right?
Because he's absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Well, then they're not set at safety if you got the right guy. That's what we're saying, right?
if there's a right guy, because he is not necessarily the right guy to push us over the top, but Earl Thomas will push us over the top. Well, I will find room for Earl Thomas.
Couple final notes: defensive end Kevin Dodd, 33rd overall pick 2 years ago by Tennessee. They get rid of him. He played in the same front seven as DJ Reader and Carlos Watkins at Clemson. Over 2 years with the Titans, 18 games, 9 tackles, no bueno, he gone. Also, if anybody missed it, sad news. Vikings O-line coach Tony Sperano passed away of heart disease, age 56, really young. Of course, he was the guy who wore sunglasses on the sidelines as head coach for the Dolphins a few years ago. Many of you remember him from there. Derek Carr, David's brother, quarterback for the Raiders, said on Twitter, I am sorry for your loss to the Soprano family. He said, coach believed in me, trusted me, stuck with me as a rookie. He would check on my family. Every head coach and quarterback meeting we would have. He was a great man. I love you, coach. And also, really nice words from former Dolphins offensive lineman Jake Long, who played with them, of course, when he was with Miami. Jake Long said this on Twitter. I am at such a loss for words and beyond sad to hear about the passing of Coach Sperano. He meant so much to me. I respected the way he coached, the way he loved football, how he approached the game. Most of all, I respected the way he loved his family so much and how good of a father he was. He was the first to believe in me in the NFL, the first to give me my shot, the only one who always stood by me through thick and thin throughout my career, and the last one to believe in me my last year in the league. He taught me so much. I'm so grateful for him. I'm humbled and honored to have known him and played for him. I love you, Coach. R.I.P. Sweet words from Jake Long. Brian, this is a guy that kind of it shook up the football world a little bit because obviously nobody was expecting this.
Obviously, a very well-respected figure in the NFL family, and you know, thoughts and prayers to his family. Just wanted to give my condolences as well. And for the record, Rob, I heard you say Soprano. I know you're a fan of the show, and this is a serious moment, but last name is Sperano. But back to what I was saying. Yeah, certainly he turned around a team that was 1-15. This was back in 2008, and they went 11-5 the next year. So I don't think a coach has turned around at such a great turnaround in quite some time. I know it's Tony Sperano is definitely up on the list as far as, you know, coaches that are able to do that. So a great offensive mind, well-respected figure in the NFL, and the Vikings are at a huge loss without him.
Yeah, and I've got the name right here in front of me. I knew I would make that mistake. And James Gandolfini, the guy that played Tony Soprano himself, he passed away at a real young age too. So kind of a little strange coincidence there. Last thing, just want to remind our listeners, we want to hear from you. LockedOnTexans@mail.com. It's in the show description of each podcast. If you forget it, we want your voice to be a part of the conversation. Let's hear from you. Don't forget that Brian's got everything covered on House of Houston, a fan site affiliate. HouseofHouston.com is the place to go. My Houston Sports Talk podcast. Me and RG talked about everything that's going on with the Rockets and Carmelo, the Astros, Kyle Tucker versus Tony Kemp. Who do you want to see play on a regular basis? Are you worried about Kyle Tucker? Are you worried about Carlos Correa? We get into that this week on Houston Sports Talk. That's all we got for this show. 2 days till the Texans get rolling. Thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.